Have you ever done a house swap? There's a programme currently that was on BBC. It was been on all last week. It's called Exchange. Now, in it, they are actually changing places. Two different peoples with different houses. They're just changing it. One is an estate house in the town. The other is a country house. Different peoples, different backgrounds. But they're not only just changing the houses for a week. They're also stepping into the other person's role, so to speak. So if, for instance, if they had moved to my house, I do most of the cooking. So whoever the male would have been, he would have had to do all the cooking. Little things like that, you know. Now, in that particular programme, though, each of the families that did the exchange were given £1,000 to make any type of change that they saw needed within the house. You know, fresh eyes and all the rest, going in, seeing something new. That was the idea behind it, that they would have this. And these two people, they did it, they spent the money, and that's a different story, though. It's all worked out that way. And so, I want to ask today, have you ever changed or did a house swap at any time in the past? Maybe you were going on holiday somewhere, and you had people that lived far away, and you said to them, well, look, we'll move into your house for a week or a fortnight, and you come on over and you have her house and just make it your home. Maybe you did it that way. Maybe you did it at the feast at some point. Now, I have a friend who lives in Belfast, and he used to, when he was in digs, because he was living in Belfast, he would work in Belfast, but his home was back where we lived, in Seskenor. So when he came home, he would stay at our house. So when he bought a house, first thing he did, and he was very pleased with this, he got a key cut, and he gave it to us. And he says, I know you just go up to Belfast every so often, so anytime you just want to come up, my house is your house. Just make yourselves happy. And that was fine. We took him up on the offer. And when we went up, different things would come along, and maybe he was there, maybe he wasn't there, and, you know, if there was any little thing that needed done around the house, we'd get on with it. We'd sort it out. That's because he was not what you call very handy. No, if a plug was broke, it was broke. End of story. You didn't fix it, you just left it broke. Whereas me, I was the sort, I would unscrew the plug, get it sorted out, get it replaced, I'd fix the lights, I'd do the plumbing, whatever was needed. So that worked out fine, no problem. But that was 17 years ago. We don't get up all that often. And his house didn't always stay immaculate. But it was nice to be able to do that. But the question I want to ask you today, and I'll refer back to my mate in Belfast in a minute, is do we think that Jesus ever did a house swap? Do we think that anywhere in the scripture he mentions swapping his house with you? Well, the answer is, yes, he did. If you turn to John 14, verse 23, you get an idea of this. For Jesus replied to them, he was saying, if someone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. That's the first bit. And my Father will love him. And this is the bit I want you to notice. We will come to him, and we will make our home with him. In other words, Jesus is going to live with you. He's going to come and be a house guest. And that's an interesting thing because that's what he's actually talking about here. In Revelation 3 verse 20, he puts it another way. Here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice, open the door, I'll come in and I'll eat with him. And he's with me. So if we're swapping our lives with Jesus and his spirit's now living within us, does that mean? Do we then live in Christ? Do you think that's possible? Well, actually, that's exactly what the Spirit's telling us. Our natural spirits don't need to be living here anymore in the flesh, because we're now living in a glorified palace of the resurrected body of Christ. We're seated at the right hand of God in heaven, which is told to us by Paul in Ephesians 2, verse 6. And God raises us up with Christ, seats us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So there we're told that we are now in Christ. All of that bit's sorted. That's dealt with. We've now got a beautiful new dwelling up there with him. So what's that mean he's in here? It means that he's now living in a small clay hut, which we always complain about, namely our bodies. So if Jesus is now living in us, and he's living in this clay hut, do you think maybe he might want to make a few changes? He might want to alter a few things that are going on with us, the same as sometimes we do if we go into somebody else's house and we were staying there for a while or lodging with them. You might see something that needs done and you might want to do it. Sort it out. In Colossians 1:27, Jesus is, we're getting to, just to verify the fact that Jesus lives in us, I just want to cross this. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. And what is the mystery? The mystery was that Christ is in you. This was something that the early church was continually talking about, continually describing. And as you're reading through the New Testament, you keep referring back to this. Christ is in you. That's the mystery. How is Christ, God, living in you? Because he is now the new tenant of your house, your temple. In fact, we can say that in 2 Corinthians 6:16, for we are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. So as I said, now that Jesus is living in us, he's going to make a few changes. He wants to make a few changes. Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21, puts it this way. I'm really only looking here at the end of the verse, but I'll read the full verse. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equipped you, this is the bit I want you to get, equipped you with every good for doing his will, that he may, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ our Lord, to him, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So that's one of the reasons why Christ's in you. He wants to continue the work of God here on earth that he was sent by his Father to do through you. He wants to build in you that perfect character that he's used to. In other words, he wants to take your clay hut and prepare it to become a glorious palace at the resurrection. He wants to get that preparation done. But would you like somebody to come in to your house and start changing it without you giving them permission? You wouldn't really like that, would you? You would want them to consult with you, talk with you, describe with you. It's a bit like a marriage relationship, isn't it? You know that you have things to change. But then when the person comes in and says, well, look, we're going to have to do this or we're going to have to do that, you're not so sure. You say, well, I wasn't sure I wanted to go to that depth or into it that deeply, or could we not just sort this wee problem out and forget the other big problem in there that's there, because I can close the door on it. In fact, that brings me back to my friend in Belfast. One of the problems that happened in his house was he had a small leak in a flat roof, which was an extension out the back of his kitchen. And he was told he would need to get something done. And it was explained to him, all he had to do was, you scrape back the stones, lift a wee bit of the stuff off, you know, the tarmac, get a big patch, stick the patch on, cover it all up again and cover it with stones, and that should seal it, because it was only a wee hole, right? He didn't do it. 7 years later, his roof fell in. And I mean, his roof fell in the whole kitchen. So when that happened, I mean, he was just now moving things around the house, not bothering about it at all. But it had come to me a few months ago, and he says to me, William, I've got a lamp that's not working. I says, well, when did it break? Just to ask him to see things. He says, well, a wee while ago. I says, okay, let's have a look at it. So we went up. Now, he's an artist. He enjoys painting. He enjoys doing doodles with the thing. So he had this special light that was sort of flexible, big flexible lead on it, and you could reach up and he could pull it right down on top of where he was working so he could see clearly. And this is the light that it broke, and it annoyed him because he couldn't see any others like it, and he really wanted this light to work. And he was convinced the whole thing, it just doesn't work anymore, so we're going to have to do something about this. But he asked me to have a wee look at it. So I goes in and I opens it up and I pulls the whole thing down, and he says, Hold on. Don't we need to switch off the power? I said, no. What would you switch off the power for? I need to test if there's power going to it first. So I've got the phase tester and I'm checking it like that there, and there's power going to it. All the things are correctly set. If I take it out and check it with some other, I thought one time it might have been the bulb. You know, if that's the case, this is the type of person, he wouldn't honestly have checked the bulb. So I checked the bulb. It was okay. So I says, nah, that's funny. Everything's worked. The switch is okay. The lights are okay. I could see that it was connected to all the rest of the lights, so I was checking them out too, and everything was fine. Said, I'll just check the neutral. And there's the neutral giving me life as well. And I'm saying, now, neutrals aren't supposed to be live. That means that there's a break in the neutral somewhere. So I says to him, okay, you've a break in the neutral, but it's not in this light, it's somewhere else. So we're going to have to go round and have a look. Oh, is it going to be a big job? Will you have to pull up roofs and all? I said, no, we just have to find out where this break is and repair it. It's as simple as that. So we can see that house, that wire's wired to that wire. That light's wired to that light. And this light is wired to this light that we're working at. So this one must go somewhere else downstairs. So we'll have to go to your kitchen. Have a wee look. Goes into the kitchen. Now, he's not happy about me going into the kitchen. He hasn't been in the kitchen for about 6 years. He comes home, changes, goes out to eat, comes back at bedtime, goes out in the morning, and that's the way he works. And he's been doing that for years. So we don't go to visit him all that often in his house, but I've still got the key. So anyway, I was in here, and I walked in, and right enough, he had his roof now plastered. He had the roof replaced and all the rest, with the wires all hanging nicely down like that there. Nothing on them. I says, I think that might be a problem. We're going to have to put in a light. Oh, no, no, that's going to be big bother. That's going to be a real problem. I don't want... Look, forget about it. We'll just leave it as it is, because that's going to be too much of a hassle. But no, I says to him, no, it's easy. All I have to do is we'll get a light. You can have a nice set of spotlights here in the kitchen. You're thinking about selling the house anyway. I'll help sell them if you have a nice set of spotlights. It'll only cost you a few pounds. We can put them up in about 20 minutes. It actually took 15. It was very quick. And we got them up, got his lights fixed, and his light was working perfectly. But you know, that's the exact same thing that happens to us when we're dealing with Jesus. Because he's coming along and he's saying, there's a wee problem here that we need to get solved. And we're saying, well, we don't want to get into anything too big or anything too hard to work with. What we want is just solve this little thing that's applying now, you know, the sore arm. Help the sore arm now and forget everything else. But he said, no, but you don't understand, the sore arm's coming because of this other thing. We're going to have to sort this bigger thing out worse. And so he's actually reasoning with us, talking with us, encouraging us, telling us all the time to let him get on with the work of changing us. But we're constantly not sure. What's it costing us? We're asking literally Christ, what's it going to cost us if I do this? What's it going to cost us if I go and do this bit? How much is that going to, how much bother is there going to be? Is there going to be a lot of dust? Little things like that. We're covering everything from that aspect. And that's what we do. We have a habit as people of, we've got the creator of the universe living inside us as a house guest, and we're wondering, well, is he going to make a mess when he's changing us from a mud hut into a glorified palace? Yes, sometimes he is going to make a mess, but he'll clean up afterwards. That's the nice thing. So if you want to know, if any of you have ever asked, how long is it going to take for you to become perfect? Well, a lot of it's up to you. Jesus can work very fast, but he won't do anything without your permission. You've got to let him get on with the job. And that's my advice to you. My friend, by the way, he sold his house now. He did a reasonable job. We went up, a squad of us, and we cleaned it out. 36 bags of rubbish came out of his living room alone. He denies everything. He says, I wasn't there. But that's just the way of it. But Jesus wants to get on with the work in you, and that's the point. We've got to let him get on with it. Just get him do it, let him do the work, we benefit. That's the main thing.